Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, there are no columnists in this country better than the man we have on now from Philly.com, the great Mike Sielski. How are you doing, Mike? How are you today?
Doing great, Angelo. How are you guys?
Mike, I loved your column the other day because it's a theory. I love theories about stuff. And this is a theory about what the Sixers have been doing in their GM hunt, which includes them trying to get the executive of the year from Houston, Daryl Morey. Could you please tell Philadelphia what you feel your theory is on what the Sixers are doing?
Well, yeah. If you follow their GM search, they have, you know, gone basically big name hunting. They've gone after, reportedly, Daryl Morey, as reported in the New York Times, and R.C. Buford of the Spurs and Sam Presti of the Oklahoma City Thunder, who would be three of probably the five best GMs in the league. And my theory is that they know in their heart of hearts they're not going to get these guys. But what it allows them to do is say, hey, we went after some really big names here. And then once they end up either promoting someone from within like Mark Eversley or Ned Cohen, or maybe hiring a name that isn't as well known and isn't quite as accomplished, they can then say, hey, you know, we did the best we could. We went after somebody like a Presti or a Buford or a Morey, even though the entire predicate, the entire, you know, philosophy of their hiring is that whoever becomes the GM is going to be collaborative with the front office and Brett Brown. And why any of those GMs I just named would want to be collaborative when they have total power where they are is a mystery.
Well, you're 100% right, Mike. This is the thing. They went to Daryl Morey, the executive of the year, at 65 wins, I think Houston had this year. And they went to him, listen, we would like you to come with us now, even though he's still on the contract. They gave him permission to talk because they all thought they could have a nice laugh later.
And
they thought it would be a big laugh later. And they said, but the one thing is, Daryl, you're going to need to collaborate with our other people. You know, you don't have full say the way you do in Houston. Who the hell would take that job? The guy, the executive of the year, Mike, it makes no sense that you're 100% right. They weren't serious, or they would offer him full autonomy, wouldn't they?
Right, and it's particularly ridiculous with Morey on two levels. Number one, he turned the Rockets into a 65-win team with a completely, well, not completely, but a pretty unique way of playing. I mean, nobody shot the three-point shot more than they did. They built their entire team around James Harden. They went after Chris Paul. Like, he was really bold. And that's the kind of strategy that, you know, a GM or executive with total power is going to pursue. Number two, and I don't know Daryl Morey well enough to say how great a factor this is, but human nature being what it is, I got to think it's at least a little bit of it. Who was Daryl Morey's protege?
Yeah.
You're telling me Daryl Morey is going to go back to the franchise that pushed out his protege. Those two guys are still very close. It really is just kind of smoke and mirrors and keeping up appearances. This is what bothers me about this franchise, is that they are devoted, it seems, at all times to keeping up appearances rather than taking on the substance of what it really means, you know, to become a successful franchise.
All right. Here's what's really bugging me. Your read on that, I couldn't agree with more, Mike, but I feel like we got a guy in town now that showed the other GMs how to win. He was a guy that took chances, but they were calculated. When other people thought he wasn't ready to win a championship, he clearly thought he was. I'm talking about Howie Roseman. Why don't our other teams, do they not believe in themselves enough? Why don't they have the same moxie that Howie has that led to a championship?
Well, I think football is different in that it is much easier to clear the decks from season to season and restart. You don't have to go through a long rebuild necessarily to get yourself back to where you want to be. In football, it's much easier to go year to year. I mean, And look, they were bold in going after Carson Wentz, and they were right. That was the catalyst, you know, to get them turned around from what they had been under Chip Kelly to what they've become, you know, under Doug Peterson. But there was some risk there too. I mean, you know, you could have guessed wrong, and they didn't. To their credit, they did not.
Yep.
You know, I think with respect to the NBA, since we're talking about the Sixers, if you make a mistake with a big name player, you know, you're going to be hurt for a long time because that money's going to be on your books, and it's a whole lot harder, you know, to move away from a guy who isn't what you thought he was going to be. Go back and look at the Sixers before Hinkie got there, where they're committing money to Elton Brand and Andre Iguodala, and those two guys from a payroll standpoint are your centerpiece players. Nobody should be surprised that you're not, you know, challenging for the Eastern Conference championship every year.
All right, but I'm applying this to the philosophy that these teams use, other than just the rules that they're governed by. With the Sixers, they whiffed on LeBron, they whiffed on Kawhi. With the Phillies, they whiffed on Machado. I mean, these are all matters that we've just dealt with in the past month. And in every one of the cases, there might have been a way, maybe not LeBron, but there might have been a way to get the guy they wanted, and they didn't go as far as they could have gone. Isn't that because they don't really believe in their franchises yet or in themselves?
Or maybe they're at a stage where they say, I mean, it could be part of it. Look, if you're the Phillies, you could certainly say, you know, could you have matched what the Dodgers gave up to get Manny Machado?
Yes.
I'm sure the Phillies are looking at it and saying, are we hedging our bets because he may not re-sign with us in the offseason? So in the end, we gave up too much for a two-month rental. You know, that's been their philosophy for a long while here, at least under Matt Klentak and Andy McPhail. You know, look, I think it depends on how you look at it. I think it depends on what you prefer from your franchise. If you're somebody who wants them to go for it all the time,
yes,
who, you know, loves the excitement of that,
yes,
I can understand why you're disappointed of them not doing that. But by the same token, if you're somebody who, let's say, you followed the Flyers year after year after year, who went for it all the time and have gone 43 years without winning a Stanley Cup, there's an argument to be made that at some point you have to be prudent and you have to be smart and you have to say, you know what, we like the groundwork we've laid here. Do we want to destroy it or upset it all just to go after this one guy? Because if it doesn't work, we might be damaging our long-term future.
Here was what I was thinking, though, Mike, and it kind of applies to you. Manny comes to Philly. He sees a much more exciting city than he was in Baltimore. They're kind of baseball's dead there. He reads Mike Sielski's column. Oh, and he goes, wow, these guys are way more learned than the ones.
Learned.
Then he turns on WIP and he goes, wow, there's passion there. I don't want to leave. I want to stay here. And that
you sound like Rob Manfred putting this on.
Oh, don't
Mike
you
Trout
do it. You know what?
Marketing the
in fact, I'm going to hold off on that question I was just setting up to ask you this one thing. What did you think of what Manfred did with Trout? What did you think of that, Mike?
I think it's a little ridiculous. I think it's really ridiculous. Mike Trout should be Mike Trout. And, you know, we're in an age where I think this doesn't have anything to do with the fact. It has less to do with the fact that Mike Trout is, you know, doesn't want to promote himself in an age of total and complete self-promotion. It's
right.
That, you know, back when baseball really was the national pastime, you know, think about the nature of the country. Think about the nature of media. Hmm. Think about how Joe DiMaggio, who was aloof and sullen and who nobody really wanted to be around, was painted as regal and classy. And, you know, Ted Williams, who would have fit totally well with today's day and age because he had a big mouth and, you know, didn't like media and would snap back at reporters, was presented as surly and graceless and all those sorts of things. The inverse is true now, and baseball's suffering for it.
That is a brilliant response to that. Now, let me get to the question I was doing, because we are getting now, just in the past few days, Brian Dawkins did a sterling testimonial to the fans. Jason Kelce did it, Al, in a big confab he had with the other four linemen. Nick Foles did it last night at the ESPYs. I'm going to ask it straight up, Mike, and you give me your honest answer. Are the fans of Philadelphia sports better than most other cities?
They definitely care more. They are definitely more passionate. I think it depends on the region of the country. I think if you went down south and talked to SEC football fans, you'd get a similar level of passion. But I think relative to pro sports, It's hard to find another city that can match Philadelphia. And I think, you know, New York gets thrown out there a lot, but New York is so diverse in its population that and they have so many teams there that it's hard to have the entire city galvanized behind the Eagles, let's say, or the way, you know, the city got behind the Sixers during the playoff run. This happens in New York. I would say Boston and you know, you guys, you and Al are from New England. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Boston probably approximates Philadelphia, you know,
it's close,
passion and knowledge more than any other city.
They're more hero worshiping, although less now than they were when I lived there. Like, they really embrace their stars. They love them, like Brady, right? Oh, they go crazy for Brady. They would never say there that he had man boobs, the way I said yesterday. By the way, he does, Mike. Look at the thing. Mike, I got to tell you, though, Mike, this city, to me, this is our heyday. And we're getting all these great tributes. And I'm kind of thinking now that we're better than everybody else. I'm kind of feeling really good about it.
Well, that's the right way to look at it, Angela.
Yeah.
Look at it. I tweeted this yesterday. Look at it from this perspective, right? Everybody's upset because the Phillies didn't get Machado, and you know Kawhi Leonard went to the Raptors, not the Sixers. Look what's happened lately. The Eagles won the Super Bowl. Mm. The Phillies are in first place at the All-Star break. The Sixers had their best season in 17 years. The Flyers improved by 10 points and have, you know, a really good farm system and a lot of young players on the way. And Villanova won its second national championship in 3 years. If this is bad in Philadelphia sports, you know, then we've really lost our perspective.
I got to be honest with you, Mike. That's a little more positive than I normally have on the show. So I'm going to let you go at this point. But I love you, Mike. Thank you. Mike Sielski. Read him every day at Philly.com. Thanks, Mike.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile. Get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.